And we are back with another episode of The Harris Huddle, and this is episode 17, and I am your host, Jalen Harris, and we are back. Thank you guys for tuning in to the 17th episode of The Harris Huddle. Before I get straight into it, I'm going to shout out my social media. Guys, if you're listening, follow my social media on Twitter. It is Huddle, H-U-D-D-L-E, Harris. On Twitter, it's Huddle Harris. And on Instagram, it's underscore Harris Huddle. That's underscore H-A-R-R-I-S-H-U-D-D-L-E. Thanks. All right, now we're going to get into it really quick. We're going to go into some recent news that's been happening over the last couple days, past kind of week. So I know some of you guys might have heard some of these topics already, but I'm going to just put my little input on it. So Baylor, a couple days ago, loses in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. They lost on a controversial last possession where a foul might have occurred, but they didn't. Let's say a foul did occur, but the refs didn't call it in that situation. They probably didn't see her elbow getting hit. They just probably thought the UConn players just went straight up and she just fell. But that really went viral on social media. People were calling it out. How did the refs not see it? That should have been a foul. Even LeBron James himself was saying that was a foul. And I didn't really think it was a foul at first, but then when they slowed it down, I saw it, but I was just like, I knew Baylor was going to lose in the first couple seconds of that play because UConn was ready for them to get in and paint. It was about three girls near the restricted area or two, and they were ready for her to post up and try and get a last second basket. So I think Baylor could have won that game easily. I know Dee Dee Richards going down in the second quarter, I would say. First or second quarter, going down with a hamstring injury really started that UConn run by Paige Buckner. And Buckner is a dog. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Paige Buckner, Buker, if I'm saying her name correctly, excuse me, in this next second, in another minute. The Nets acquire LaMarcus Aldridge and the Milwaukee Bucks sign Jeff Teague as in the free agent buyout market. The Nets getting LaMarcus Aldridge kind of set off NBA Twitter and NBA world because they were just like, ah, the Nets are getting everybody. They're going to beat everybody. They're going to be unbeatable. This is unfair. All this for LeBron James. I am a little bit of a home for LeBron, but I'm not. This LaMarcus Aldridge signing doesn't really hit me as a major one. Of course, I overreacted a little bit too because I was just like, man, they got LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, if you didn't know. But I think LaMarcus Aldridge has a chance to start. I mean, he probably will start at the five, maybe, or the four to go along with DeAndre Jordan. But what is LaMarcus Aldridge going to give you? What, 10 to 15 points? And he's a liability on defense. So in the playoffs, that's like 8 points. It's like 10 points at the maximum. Because you have three ball handlers in James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant can work off the ball. But are you giving LaMarcus Aldridge many, many shots at the ball in the playoffs? But I know LaMarcus Aldridge is a veteran, and I'm not going to downplay that former All-Star. Not going to downplay his ability to score in the mid-range. He's one of the best players at scoring in the mid-range for the past almost decade. So I'm not going to hate on LaMarcus Aldridge, but I don't think this is a major signing. Like, the Nets are unbeatable now. The Nets have to get healthy. Fact. They have to get healthy. Now, the Bucks signed Jeff Teague, and I know they just traded for P.J. Tucker, so Giannis has no excuses. So the Bucks are loading up. Philly was trying to load up. I know they just traded for George Hill, so they got a little guard. I don't think he's going to start, but they might. I don't know how that would work with Ben Simmons. But I think the East is loading up. Everybody's loading up for trying to prepare for the Brooklyn. But KD being out this long kind of shocks me now because I didn't really think about it the past couple weeks, but it shocks me now. NBA legend Elgin Baylor passed away at the age of 86. Wow, man, wow. I was not expecting this. When I got this notification, I was shocked. I mean, because when you think about some of the greats, all those great Laker teams, you know, somebody trades for the Lakers like a Dwight Howard, LeBron James, whoever, the next star, they'd be like, he's going to be one of the legends and bring Laker Nation back. Like, or like LeBron winning the championship, like, is he better than Elgin Baylor, Magic, or Kareem? Like, he's one of the Laker stalwarts of the past. And I'm sorry for the loss. Pray for his family. It's a loss for Laker Nation, NBA legend. But he is one of the stepping stones that brought Laker Nation to be where it is. But as you say, he passed away. Rest in peace, Elgin Baylor. We're going to move on to our men's. We're going to say our Final Four teams. If you haven't know, Final Four is going to be played in a couple days. Probably, I would say the weekend. But Baylor in the men's Final Four, Baylor, Gonzaga, UCLA, and the Houston Cougars. I'm going to say this. My men's pick, you hear this right now. Right now. I'm going with, I can't trust the undefeated team. Gonzaga has failed me so many times, but they're in the Final Four this year, and they look unbeatable. But I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Baylor. I'm going to go with the unordinary pick. I'm going to say Baylor will win it all. Either Baylor or Houston. I'll say Baylor. Now, in our women's Final Four, we have UConn, Arizona, South Carolina, Stanford. And I'm going to give a shout-out to the two head black coaches. I don't know the Arizona head black coach female's name, but I know South Carolina has a black coach in Dawn Staley. She's amazing. She beat the mess out of Mississippi State this year. But I want to give a shout-out first to female black coaches in the Final Four ever. They're the first two. Well, not the first two, but two. Get it? Two. First two female black coaches. And that's great, man. And South Carolina faces off of Stanford and UConn faces off of Arizona. I think UConn will have a pretty easy trip going to the Final Four. But because that, like I said earlier, Paige Booker is an animal. And UConn is deep and loaded. I feel like that the championship game was versus Baylor, really. And they were playing. They fought back and ultimately won. So I think it's going to be down to UConn and whoever comes out of the other side with two number one seeds in South Carolina and Stanford. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with South Carolina. I'm going to go with a team I've seen. I haven't watched much of Stanford, but I know Stanford is great with their head coach. They've been producing, winning Pac-12 titles for over a decade now with their head coach, and I know they have great players. Now, I'm going to give a shout-out to the women's tournament. Not like it hasn't been going on for years, but I feel like it needs to be said. Their tournament this year has been better than the men. Their Blue Bloods are producing. They're playing on a greater scale than the men. Their big Blue Bloods, are playing well. They're playing up to competition. It's been some upsets, but they have been hooping. These Elite Eight and Sweet 16 games have been great. Great. I think as a collective, everybody needs to show more love to the NCAA women's collegiate basketball players because they are great players and they put in the work and them having those facilities, that weak dumbbell rack as their weight room was a travesty by the NCAA, a real deal travesty. But I just want to give them their flowers right now. Whoever comes out with the championship this year on both sides, congratulations to them winning in a bubble, winning during this pandemic. And yeah. Now, we're going to go into our next topic, NFL free agency, man. Got the NBA on my mind. NFL, whew. But NFL free agency, wow, man. It has been some shockers, to say the least. Some shockers. Now, I didn't go over right every team down, really, that I wanted to hit on, but I just hit on some teams I thought did really well, or I thought Some of these player signings kind of made me scratch my head a little bit. Then the Browns, I think the Browns won free agency. I think every person they signed is a possible starter. Now don't at me. Don't say, hey, they signed this guy. Don't tell me. I didn't mean practice squad players or guys that might not make the 53-man roster. Please. But they signed John Johnson, safety from the Rams. He was a top five safety this year for good contract, like 3 years, $30 million. Troy Hill, he signed it. He was one of the best nickelbacks. He's also a corner from the Rams. Rams, they're still in your secondary. About 4 years, $24 million, good contract. Because the Browns had like 30-40 million in cap space. And they signed former Falcon Tack McKinley. Good luck with that. And they signed former Colts linebacker Anthony Walker. I think all of these guys could start on this defense. I know the Browns might be going in a draft. Wait, they might hit at another defensive end to add more depth behind or ahead of Tack McKinley. But like I said, I think at the end of the season when I was watching the Browns play the Chiefs and on that last possession with I can't forget the Chiefs quarterback, backup quarterback. It doesn't really matter, but the backup quarterback scrambling on fourth down or third or fourth down for like 15 yards to get it. It was third down, but on third and 15 to get it, and the linebacker didn't notice till it was too late and couldn't catch him. I was like, they need speed at their linebacker position. And I was like, anything is better. I know Anthony Walker is a great player, good player in the locker room. So I think the Browns really improved. Their secondary needed help at cornerback and safety, and they did that with John Johnson and Troy Hill. And they still have the draft and Grant Delpit returning off an Achilles injury. So that adds depth to their team. And that secondary, when I mean secondary, like corners, safeties, linebackers, kind of the skinny guys on the field. Not skinny guys with linebackers, but corners, safeties, you know, that's the secondary. And we get into my hometown Falcons, my Falcons. We are broke. Broke, I tell you, broke. So we didn't make any moves in free agency. I wasn't being delusional and expecting really moves. Maybe if we could get enough cap space, one nice starter. But I wasn't expecting anything. Falcons fans shouldn't expect anything. Signed Mike Davis, Carolina Panthers, I think 2 year, $5.5 million deal. He could be the possible next starter at the position, or they can go by running back by committee. When I say that means you got multiple players playing or starting each game. So you don't have a good lead back. You just have a good group of backs. Fabian Moreau, former third-round pick from the Washington Redskins. I kind of like this pick. I think he's really been solid as a solid player. I know he's been injured a lot. I think he tore his bicep and maybe Achilles, but don't hold me on that. But I think he's a solid depth signing. He could possibly start if he's healthy, but I'm not expecting too much from him. We traded for the Bills for Lee Smith, blocking tight end. Now, I hated this pick. I wondered about this pick. Not this pick, this trade. When I saw it, I slept on it. I let it marinate. Shout out to Dr. Moore. I let it marinate. And I thought about it. Who's our coach? Arthur Smith. Who did he come from? Tennessee. Run the ball. Everyone to run, then throw. Run, then throw. So you need a blocking tight end. You need our offensive line to play better. And Lee Smith is basically another offensive tackle, another offensive lineman. He doesn't really go off routes. I know he caught one touchdown last year. So he's really a blocker, and that really helps with our offensive line. Just put him in near the tackle. They could both block on the edge and help out Matt Ryan and keep him upright. Now we signed former, I think, top 10 overall pick in 2011, 2012, Barkevious Mingo. This is good special team signing, depth signing. And we had a lot of restructured contracts. I think every big contract that we had on a team has been restructured to give us a little cap break to sign those players in free agency and sign some rookies that we're going to be drafting in April. And the one big loss I would say we lost this year, besides Tack McKinley isn't a big loss to me. We don't have a lot of players to sack the quarterback. So we lost Alex Smith. That's a big piece. We had to fill a hole at center, but we did sign. We have our offensive lineman from Temple last year that can just slide into that spot, which we were preparing for last year. That's why I like the draft picks from last year. They should be able to slide in, but guys have to produce. Guys have to produce. But I'm not going to hit on every team or go in depth of every team that I like. I'm just going to probably spit out a lot of names as I say that. I'm going to do that anyway, probably. But the Patriots signed Matthew Judon, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Kendrick Bourne, Jalen Mills, and Henry Anderson, and Raekwon McMillan. If I missed anybody, I know the Bill Belichick went and spent his stimmy on players. He went big billionaire Bill and signed everybody in free agency. Really, all these signings were on the first day. Maybe, I know Raekwon McMillan wasn't. I think all these were on the first day except Raekwon McMillan. They probably came late. But all these guys are starters, really. To me, the Patriots are depleted on offense. They need to pass rush. They were like 20th in pass rush. Matthew Judon. They like that two tight end system. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Hunter Henry can be the main kind of blocking tight end and inline tight end. And Jonnu Smith can line up in the slot and maybe out wide. And you could just use him as a chess piece. Kendrick Bourne is a good slot receiver. Speedy. Hands are kind of suspect. Jalen Mills is that versatile defender that can play safety, come play corner, play outside corner. You could put him as another chess piece to replace Patrick Chung that just retired this offseason. Henry Anderson is a good depth D lineman, could start, but I think he's more of a depth rotation piece. I will say Raekwon McMillan, shout out to Ohio State. He could start, but I think he is more of a depth piece, a good first three down linebacker or two down linebacker. Now, I wouldn't say he's really that great in coverage, but first two downs he is great. Then he can maybe rotate out on and go and get to a nickel coverage. And a nickel coverage is a smaller coverage. You take out a linebacker or you take out a defensive lineman. You put in a member of the secondary, another corner, another safety. Now the Giants. I didn't expect them to spend as much money this free agency or really go crazy. I saw Giants fans on social media really clamoring for Kenny Golladay. But now, I like the Giants free agency. They're big pieces, Kenny Golladay, Dory Jackson, Kyle Rudolph. They just signed Danny Shelton. I know they signed some other guys, but they are really depth pieces to me. I like Kenny Golladay to help out Danny Dimes. Adoree Jackson is another piece on defense, even though that might be a little bit of an overpay. I didn't think Adoree Jackson was going to get that much money, but shout out to him. I ain't hating on anybody's pockets. Good job. I like Kyle Rudolph as a great veteran in that locker room, another tight end to help out Evan Engram that will catch the ball in the red zone. But he can help mentor Evan Engram and mentor him, red zone threat. You know, be a security blanket for Danny Dimes. But the Giants need to address this offensive line. I didn't think they were that bad last year, but they are. I didn't think they were still 30th, but they are horrendous. They need to protect Daniel Jones, and I would expect that first round pick in April to be an offensive tackle, probably Rashawn Slater. But they need to protect him. Danny Jones, if they wanted to be the next Eli, the next whatever, bring the Giants another Super Bowl. He can't be on his back, and he gets hurt, and he turns the ball over when he gets hit. So, let's get Danny Dimes some offensive linemen. Now, next, we're going to the Chiefs. I like what the Chiefs did this year. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a homeboy. I'm a my homeboy fan. I want him to succeed. They signed the top offensive lineman in free agency to me, Joe Thuney, 5 years, $80 million. Signed Kyle Long to a one-year deal for $5 million. Jaron Reed, look, I remember this. Jaron Reed, defensive tackle from the Seattle Seahawks. He got cut last week after trying to restructure his contract with the Seahawks to, like, give them some cap room. Wow. Him to go on Chris Jones, that defensive line is going to be fierce. Now, Frank Clark needs to earn that money or he's going to get cut this year. But Jaron Reed to go along with Chris Jones. That is going to be a terrorizing front. I know Jaron Reed isn't a really big pass rusher, but he could eat up some blocks. And that can leave Chris Jones one-on-one. Or it could leave Frank Clark one-on-one. And that helps the Chiefs defense. Even though they struggled in the secondary in the Super Bowl and during the playoffs. But adding another defender in that front seven can help the run game. They need to stop the run so they can play a better overall defense and get Patrick Mahomes the ball back, create turnovers. The Cardinals. I like these picks when they these free agency signings when they sign them, but now I don't like them anymore. They signed J.J. Watt, Malcolm Butler, and they traded for Rodney Hudson and A.J. Green. I liked all except it's like when they signed Malcolm Butler, it made me rethink. A.J. Green's going to be great number two receiver in Arizona to go along, say, DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to face number one coverage. He's a former Pro Bowler. I want to say all pro, but I know he's a Pro Bowler. I sound like I don't know A.J. Green. I know A.J. Green. I'm just not sure if he has any all-pros. Because you playing with Julio Jones. I mean, you playing in the same draft class as Julio Jones. And I know Julio Jones is all-pro. So, I know what I'm talking about. But, Rodney Hudson. This is the crown jewel of the free agency. You add a starting all-pro Pro Bowl center in that offensive line to protect Kyler Murray, to prevent him from running from his life. Rodney Hudson is that crown jewel. Plug him in, start. The offensive line was pretty good last year. I think they're going to be really great, and Kyler's going to have that time to just sit back there and dice up teams in that kind of air raid, well, pro-style air raid offense that Cliff Kingsbury runs. Now, on defense, J.J. Watt intrigued me, but after watching and listening to some at his stats or where he ranked last year as the defender, I like the signing, but is J.J. Watt going to give you that print, that prime J.J. Watt as you paid him? They paid him like $15 million for 3 years. Is he going to give you that prime J.J. Watt? Or is it going to be like he's going to be constantly hurt? He's going to be constantly dinged. He's going to miss some games. To go along with Chandler Jones, I know he's coming off an injury, but that's going to be a fearsome front. They signed Malcolm Butler. I think he's kind of in his down years, but they needed to replace Patrick Peterson as he left to Minnesota. But that NFC West is going to be fierce because you have the 49ers. 49ers, Cardinals, Seattle, Seahawks, which I'm going to get to in a minute, both of those teams. And the Rams, they all improved. Rams got a quarterback. Seattle's been signing guys. 49ers have been signing guys. They just traded for the number three overall pick. But as I'm speaking of that, the 49ers, I like their free agency. I really do. They really re-signed all their guys. They signed Alex Mack, took him from Atlanta, re-signed Trent Williams, signed Samson Ebukam. If I said his name wrong, excuse me, Ebukam. They traded to the number three overall pick to get a quarterback. They gave up their number 12 overall pick this year. Their 2022 first-round pick and a 2023 first-round pick and a random first-rounder. I don't know if that's next year, but it's a third-rounder. They really get back their Super Bowl team. Jimmy G's going to be hopefully back. They said they're going to keep him, but I think they're going to trade him. So if Jimmy G's back or the number three overall pick is starting, quarterback is secured. You get all your pieces back on offense. Deebo Samuel is going to be healthy. Raheem Mostert is going to be healthy. What's their second overall pick? They have Jalen Hurd. I really want Jalen Hurd to play this year. I feel like he's going to be like kind of that mixed tight end, big wide receiver role, but he has been hurt these last couple of years. Hopefully he is healthy this year. Their defense, Nick Bosa, to team up back with Arik Armstead. They're not going to resign Richard Sherman, but they have most of their defense back in their secondary. I know they just signed Kywan Williams, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Kywan Williams. So they're getting most of their pieces back, and they're going to get that number three overall pick. I know that has broken the draft up really bad. I was making my mock drafts. I was like, they can take him or they can take him, but 49ers blew that up. They said, scratch that. We're going to go to number three overall. I don't think they really had to, but sometimes you got to do this when it comes to quarterbacks. You have to take that risk. You have to just do it. If you have a guy you really like, just go get him. Now, I really think they're going to take Justin Fields. I know Justin Fields has been getting a lot of flack. I think some of these guys that say black quarterbacks or guys can't throw, I think they're just trying to lie. So he can fall to their team. It doesn't make sense. Guys saying Justin Fields can't go through his first read. He can't do this. He went through the majority of his reads in the Clemson game. And I know, if you're pointing to this year, just look at the Clemson game. Then he played extremely well his junior year. They thought he was going to be the number two overall pick behind Trevor Williams. I said Trevor Lawrence, excuse me. Look at that Clemson tape. He outplayed the number one overall pick. Outplayed him. Against a defense that's one of the most complex in college football. That he struggled against last year. He ripped them to shreds. Threw a 60-yard bomb that blew up the game. With bruised ribs. So I don't want to hear about his character, his ability to read defense. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't. In my eyes, Justin Fields, not being an Ohio State fan homer, but I feel like he's the number two overall quarterback in this draft because kid from BYU, his name has left my mind, but BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson, didn't really play the competition that Justin Fields played. I know we're in Northwestern Indiana, but he didn't play them. He just played Coastal Carolina, and he didn't really just light the field on fire when I watched him. But, hey, it's not me as a draft analyst, but I should have a mock draft coming out soon. But we're going to move on to the Seattle Seahawks, and I like their offseason. I really do. I say I like everybody's, but obviously all these teams hope their offseasons are perfect, but these are good pieces to add to Russell Wilson, and they re-signed some guys. They didn't really go crazy, but they really added some pieces that I think Russell would be happy with, even though his offensive line might not still be happy with Russell. Wink, wink, Chicago Bears fans. But the Seahawks have traded for Gabe Jackson, signed Gerald Everett. Gabe Jackson is offensive lineman. Gerald Everett is a tight end. They re-signed defensive end Carlos Dunlap. And they signed 49ers defensive end Kerry Hyder. And they extended Tyler Lockett to a 4-year, $69 million contract. I like all these moves. Gerald Everett is my favorite. He could slide into that tight end position and start, be a weapon for Russell Wilson when he's back there cooking, making spaghetti, lasagna. Russ is cooking. But yeah, they go along with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and whoever they start at running back. They might have six running backs to get injured this year. But Russ needs to have a heart-to-heart with his offensive line to really fix it if he wants to stay in Seattle. Because if Russ think he's going to get protected, no. He's going to get sacked 70 times this year. But yeah, man, he has to mend some fences. He's going to have to buy some good presents. Good presence. Might have to buy some APs, some, I don't know, Carson Wentz. What can you do in Seattle, though? It rains all the time. It rains all the time again. And even after that, it still rains. What, maybe some good hiking equipment? It's mountains in Seattle. Mountains in Washington State. You know, it's nice, but I don't know. You might buy them some gold, Russell Wilson, something. Because you can't piss off your big boys now. They're your bros. They're your buddies. Let me stop joking, but like I said, that Russell Wilson is causing some little uproar of like not being heard, and it's understandable if he hasn't been heard, he hasn't been listened to. He wants to be the best, wants to be in that MVP conversation. Now, Chicago, I would say go get him if I were you, but Russell Wilson could be traded this offseason. He cannot, but they have to figure that out. I think it will come down to the draft time to really find out if the Seattle will really trade him, because there needs to be backup plans. And Seattle takes a $37 million cap hit, but I heard on the Pat McAfee show, it isn't a full $37 million. You can break it up. If you trade him before June 1st, it's that whole $37 million. But after June 1st, you can break it up into, I think, 2 years or like, you just take a hit this year and then a hit next year. But it's doable. Trust me, it is doable. But Russ and the Seattle Seahawks have to figure that out. The Titans, they're my last team in this free agency thing. I kind of like their signings. That they get more physical and fierce on defense. They're already a pretty physical team on offense with A.J. Brown, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, King Henry, Russian champ, offensive player of the year, Big Henry. pay my man. He deserved all the endorsements and that big contract he got last year. He deserves it. Rushing King, King Henry. He is the heartbeat of that team. Now, they lost Jonnu Smith, but I'm pretty sure they're going to replace him in the draft this year. Pretty good tight ends they can find in the third or fourth round, or maybe even the second. They signed DeNico Autry. I think he's an underrated player, starter on the defensive line for the Colts, and formerly Hell State. Oh, I would ring my cowbell, but that'll probably kill people's ears and the earphones. But Hell State, DeNico Autry, he's a good 7-sack guy, good starter on the interior, great player. I've noticed him over the years. He's been great signing for the Titans. They also signed Bud Dupree, a 4-year deal, I think $84 million. He's a good edge rusher. He a Pro Bowl player. I hate that he got injured last year towards ACL. And the Steelers defense, when he got hurt, took a major dip. When Bud Dupree got hurt and TJ Watt took a major dip, TJ Watt started facing a lot of those double teams, and he couldn't really produce after that. I know he got a couple sacks. Defensive player of the year, I'm not hating. I'm not hating on TJ Watt, but Bud Dupree is a great player. He can slide into that 3-4 system and stand up and raise terror in the AFC South. Him and DeNico Autry in that 3-4 system, both 3-4 players. And I know the head coach, Mike, I forgot his name, played Ohio State, but he's going to love those guys. And they also signed Josh Reynolds, wide receiver from the Rams. They didn't do much. I know they traded Isaiah Wilson. His story is sad. Their first round pick that can't get it together. I want to say, I watched the I Am Athlete podcast and they were speaking about it. And Brandon Marshall was like, the NFL should have stepped in to get him some help. And I agree with that. Like, we trade a guy and he cut him 3 days later. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, he messed it up. He had his chance. Now, I'm not defending him. He should have came in to that agreed time. But I think there's something else going on. Because how are you the starter at right tackle at Georgia? I know Kirby Smart can put up some things, but I don't think he'll put up with that. Showing up late to meetings constantly, partying, getting arrested. Now, there might be some stuff I don't know about. But, hey, I wish Isaiah Wilson the best. I hope he actually sees it through, sees what he's doing, and he gets another chance. But I'm not saying get another chance now, next year, or whatever. But I want him to realize what he's losing. He has millions, but it's only a couple million. That million's not going to last forever. You have a life to live outside of football, outside of being a millionaire, and doing all these things, racing, getting caught in the scene he's with, that's only going to last for so long. Everybody that's with you now is with you there for their money. What is going to happen when you get arrested or other things happen? It's a possibility he's never signed with a team again. What's going to happen when you lose that fame? I know he's signing a rap career, but forget all that. What is going to happen when you're done? When you sit back and realize, what have I done? First round picks don't get cut in a year. You're one of the very few. The very few. And I hope he realizes that. Because he was immensely talented at Georgia. I thought it was a decent pick at, 29 overall? Or 28 that the Titans were selecting? Young player, he needed to develop. But I mean, who could expect this? Who can expect their first round pick to be banned from a HBCU Tennessee State's campus for trespassing? That is creepy. In a pandemic, you get banned from the campus because you're trying to go and you're not a student. That is creepy. That is creepy. I'm going to get off this case and we're going to move on to the next topic. That's my free agency thing. If you want me to talk about some other teams, I know I'm going to go into the draft in a couple of weeks because the draft is in about 3 to 4 weeks. I'm going to go into team needs probably with the Falcons being my main team. And you guys hit me up on social media if you have a favorite team out there and you want me to talk about your team or just speak on it, see ask my opinion of what they were going to draft or where they would, what I think of their free agency signings if I didn't go over it. Now we're going to move on to one of our subtopics, not a main topic, well, maybe, kind of, sort of. I might not spend too much time on this. Just give you my thoughts. Deshaun Watson. The situation has been shocking, to say the least, the past two, three weeks. I didn't expect this. Deshaun Watson has, if you don't know, Deshaun Watson has been served with civil lawsuits in court, in civil court. The count is up to 19 women by now. They were all massage therapists, and they're accusing Deshaun Watson of misconduct. I know one said exposing himself for, I don't know, it's weird. I didn't read up on them because I think some of these things are court documents and I'm not an official media member. But they accuse him of misconduct, sexual misconduct, or things like that. I don't know. I don't want to get into a lot of it, but it's disturbing the amount is up to 19 lawsuits because I think Deshaun Watson would have a better case defending himself if it was like one bad lawsuit. I know one of his lawyers said one of the cases are outright false and that could lead to more of them being false. But I want to let the evidence, because I'm not going to start defending Deshaun Watson. I need all the evidence to become available. But I also want to give Deshaun Watson his grace with Rusty Harden. I don't understand how it's not more of a problem that a few years ago, Rusty Harden had a billboard wanting Johnny Manziel to stay in Texas with the Houston Texans. And that's not a major point on people's mind. That's not a major issue on people's mind. Deshaun Watson wants to be traded in February. In March, Deshaun Watson has sexual misconduct lawsuits. Does that make sense to anybody? Deshaun Watson as a career good guy. Gainesville, Georgia. Hometown kid. Clemson quarterback. Number 12 overall pick. National champion. Paid for the workers in the Houston Texans salaries. This doesn't sound like Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson played a dangerous game. And if he did this, he should pay. But I don't think, no, let me rephrase that. If it's hard to believe with his character, but it might be another side to him that I don't know. I have to give my grace. I have to let the victims say their case in court. But I really think Deshaun Watson should get his day in court as well. But this situation is overall tragic because it makes you wonder and it makes you think, are these legitimate? And the Houston police said there's no evidence that's been submitted to them. But it's a lot of things that have been said by the attorneys that are just kind of suspect to me that just makes me want to scratch my head a little bit because it's just like, really? You go through social media to try and get not validation, but just public opinion to get him to judge Deshaun Watson before he even goes to court. Like, are you even going to go to court? Which cases are you going to bring to court? I mean, you could file a lawsuit, but not really go through with it. It's just a lot of questions with this situation that I need answers to. And I hope Deshaun Watson and the victims get answers or their cases heard by. But it's an overall sad scene, and it's concerning to think of Deshaun Watson and him wanting a trade to another team and getting out of the situations with the Texans, because other teams are going to keep notice of this too, and things go south that can really hurt his value, or it keeps being in the public eye that's going to hurt his value. And obviously, I think both sides just want to move past this. The Texans, Deshaun Watson, I wouldn't say the victims, they don't want to move past this, but the Texans, Deshaun Watson, and other teams, they would rather not be in this situation. And I just wish the best. I know I probably said this for everybody overall, and I wish the best for everybody. sexual misconduct is not something that should be going on in this society from day one. It isn't acceptable by anybody. If you're a star quarterback, doctor, lawyer, police officer, regular guy, it's not acceptable. That is my thoughts on Deshaun Watson. We're going to move on to our next topic. If you heard my water bottle crackle, I'm sorry for that. Gotta stay energized. But we're going to get into our NBA action. The state of the NBA. Wow. The past couple of weeks have been crazy. All of your MVP candidates have been hurt. Not all, but the majority. LeBron James rolls his ankle against the Hawks. I think last week. Excuse me. I don't know why I'm trying to quote that right now. But LeBron James rolls his ankle. Embiid bruises his knee in a game that looks very bad. KD is out. Steph is out. But he's playing right now. But I think he's playing hurt. But Steph was out over the past week or so. That's the MVP candidates have been out, and that's been hurting the NBA to me. But I think in particular the Western Conference is hurting because you lose those stars in LA with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and the teams that are at the top of the league are not really like, oh, I'm clamoring to go see a Jazz game. No, you're not. I mean, they're good, but like, come on. The average fan isn't clamoring to see the Jazz play, not the Nuggets, but like the Suns. I'm being extremely disrespectful, but this is not my view. This is just like, a lot of people watch the Lakers. A lot of people tune into the Lakers. They focus on the Lakers. When the Lakers have bare minimum to put out there on the court, that's going to hurt the NBA viewership. And I think stars being hurt really hurt the game. But I think if you're an Eastern Conference man, if you're an NBA fan, check out the East. James Harden is being James Harden. He's cooking, keeping it interesting. I think he's dropping almost 30. Keeping the Nets afloat, cooking. I'm talking about cooking in his point guard role. Kyrie's in and out of the lineup. I know KD has missed the last 20 games. So that's really been hurting them. That brings into, as I mentioned earlier, some questions to whether they can be truly healthy or not. But James Harden is holding it down. The Nets need to get back healthy to dominate because I will tell you, it will be another Clippers situation. The NBA is going to be hurt. Hurt bad. I'm telling you, if the Nets don't get their starters and play about 15 to 10 games with them before the playoffs, they're going to lose. You can mark it, bet it. No team, you have to get some consistency. You have to know how to play with each other. They added Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. You have to coincide. You have to gel. In basketball, you need to gel. You need to know where he's going to post up. You need to know how he likes to move, where he likes to cut, where he likes to drive, when he likes to shoot and pull up and shoot, when to get out of the way. You have to know that. You have to know what guys are going to do. And in the playoffs, you lose four games, you out. Anybody can beat them. They can meet the 76ers. And if you're not on your game, they can go to the finals. The Bucks, they can go to the finals. MVPs. I mean, not MVPs. You got MVP and Giannis. These are the player of the year and Ben Simmons. You get off a couple games, they might win. And Embiid's coming back in a few weeks. The Nets are concerning. I think everybody, yeah, they have a lot of good players, but they don't have a lot of defense. I know that. KD is probably the best defender on that team. Now, I'm not going to knock Kyrie. Kyrie is a great defender as well, but I wouldn't bet my farm on Kyrie. I wouldn't. I mean, Kyrie's an amazing offensive player, but I wouldn't bet the farm that Kyrie can stop. What's a great point guard in the East? Point guard in the East. Golly. all I think about him is in the West. But for example, Steph Curry was on the 76ers. And I wouldn't bet my house, farm, money in my pocket if I'm a bettors man. I wouldn't bet it on Kyrie stopping Steph Curry. Because other teams can play and other teams can defend better than the Nets. And they in the playoffs, you're bound to have an off night. Everybody's not going to score 30 every game. And guys really have to pitch in and their bench. And guys really have to step up. But I'm going to move on from the Nets. The Lakers are missing. Oh, I already mentioned this. If the Lakers could stay in playoff contention throughout that ride, as they get LeBron and Anthony Davis back, I think it will all work out. But I'm going to say this one thing. If Kyle Kuzma does not produce during these next couple weeks, he needs to be traded in the offseason. Let you think about that. Kyle Kuzma, if he doesn't produce, he needs to be traded. Because you need that cap space for guys that's going to produce. Not a veteran. I mean, I wouldn't say a veteran, but you need guys to produce. You have to produce. You can't say, oh, it's because I don't play enough. It's because I'm on the bench. You don't accept your role on the bench. But when you do start, you're not really producing. We're not asking you to shoot. Just play your game. The evaluators are watching. You have to earn your keep. I mean, he was considered one of the best rookies to come out the class with Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Brandon Ingram, considered one of the best. But it's not it. You got to produce. That's the main thing. I'm not hating on Kyle Kuzma. Like him pretty much, like his overall game. But you have to produce. I mean, we're the Lakers. You either got to produce or you're gone. That's fact. The Lakers are built on championships. And also, I think Jokic's going to win the MVP. I really do. I really do think Jokic's going to win. I want the big guy to win. That would be pretty funny. No hefty guy. Flashy passes. Can't really jump an inch more than me. But I want him to win. I want Jokic to win the NBA. I want the NBA. The MVP, excuse me. I want Jokic to win. Or either go to Dame. But probably, I think if I had to pick today, I would say Jokic. Nikola Jokic is going to win, the a.k.a. the Joker. But I think a lot of guys really are sitting out this year. And why it's hurting the NBA as well is because of no fans. Why would you play hurt in a shortened season with no fans? Like, nothing's giving you the juice, the angst, the energy, that motivation to play. To play hurt, to play in games when nobody's there. Or if it's there, it's 100 people. Or 1,000 people. But you can't. You're not going to play. I wouldn't play either. I mean, save your body for the playoffs. Get ready for the playoffs. It's not worth getting injured again or making it worse and you're missing the whole season. I think that's particularly why guys are sitting and not playing, because they are there's no fans, there's nothing pushing them. They're kind of thinking about the ultimate goal. Now, what really sucks about this guy, sucks about the recent injuries, I would say, is LaMelo Ball as well. LaMelo Ball was actually putting the Hornets on a national scale. Like, I would see the Hornets on TV every day. LaMelo Ball do a behind-the-back pass. LaMelo Ball hit a three and turn around, or hits a three and spins. Here's a flashy pass. Throws an alley to Mikal Bridges. The Hornets announcer is screaming, "Oh, my God! Terry Rozier! Oh, my God! LaMelo! Mikal Bridges!" You know, I think I'm saying his name wrong, but yeah, they're still, the Hornets are still playing pretty decent. I think they're in one of the later playoff seats as well. But I hope LaMelo can get back. They can go to the playoffs, maybe as an eighth seed, or get in the play-in games, or like the seventh or eighth seed. It'll be interesting, you know. maybe give a team some issue. But I like LaMelo's game, and I said if LaMelo can develop a 3-point shot and just improve his overall defense, LaMelo is going to be a great player, and he did it so fast. He leads in steals, rebounds. I think he might be number two in rebounds. I know he's number one in points, steals. I think he's number one in rebounds and assist. But I would say, as a rookie, and he's a point guard, he's number one or number two in all of those statistics, and he's number one in, I think, like a, it's like a hustle stat, either like getting loose balls or whatever. He's number one in the NBA or like top five among rookies. Either top five in the NBA or number one among rookies, excuse me. LaMelo Ball is producing. Michael Jordan has a hit as a first round pick for the first time. He has a hit. And I wish him the best overall, and I wish him the best as a career. But LaMelo Ball is hooping. MJ, you need to put something around him. I know Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier can do it, but you need more. You need to hit in the draft. You need to do this. You got to do it. You got to figure it out, MJ. You, the buck, stop at your desk. Greatest of all time. Old head legend. You got to do it, MJ. You got to do it. But I think that was it for you guys. I think that was my last topic. Those are my kind of hits for the day. As I'll say for these last couple announcements, keep tuned for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try and get you guys a mock draft, some other draft stuff that I like to do. I really am a fan of the draft. I like to see where guys are going to go, where they predict. And, yeah, hit me if you guys want some teams, some more NBA action. I post on Instagram, my Instagram, and I will do it on my Harris Holder Instagram. I do polls of topics you would like to hear. On Twitter, I'm going to start doing that too. Just hit me with topics like the state of the NBA. That was a fan topic. Somebody wanted me to talk about Elgin Baylor. That was a topic. I mean, Dre, excuse me. They wanted me to talk the state of the NBA. My next episode is going to be about baseball, featuring Micah Harris, former player at Starbridge. I need that. Help me help you. And I really appreciate you guys listening and supporting me, reposting likes, comments, giving me suggestions. That all helps. So if you haven't yet and you got to the end of this video, oh my God, YouTube scene. But if you got to the end of this podcast, follow my Twitter at Huddle Harris, and Instagram at Harris_HarrisHuddle. That's _HarrisHuddle. Follow me, give me a shout, DM me. Send me questions you have, comment, like, share. I would really appreciate it. And this is your boy, Jalen Harris, signing out on this episode 17 of the Harris Huddle. And thank you guys for listening. And we are out.